Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is supported in part by the Bertha Foundation.
Good evening, not Lewis. Dylan. G'day, Dylan.
Where's Lewis at? Is he at one of those Triple J parties hanging out with Amy Shark? Is he too? Well, we got to be at the comedy coalface while he's off partying. You said that last week.
Yeah, I did. That's what he's doing this week. He's off at parties because he's got the week off.
Really?
He's actually on holidays, probably with Amy Shark, his girlfriend, Amy Shark.
Ah. Hope you're not giving him paid leave. He doesn't deserve it.
Lewis is away on leave this week, but it's okay. We've got home brand Lewis. That is Dylan Bain. Welcome, Dylan Bain.
Yes, normally hobo Paul Schaefer at Irrational Fear. Today I'm hobo Lewis Hobber.
Hobo Lewis Hobber. Well, mate, I've had an absolutely massive week in the out-of-home buying billboard media. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on Gadigal land in the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Let's start the show.
Irrational Fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, fair dicum, and Section 40. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, New Zealand's official wizard lost his job. Turns out he got fired after developing a few bad hobbits. And Barnaby Joyce insists the Nationals won't be pressured into backing a net zero target by 2050, saying, "Nobody puts us man babies in the corner." And with Halloween just around the corner, partygoers wishing to dress up as Matt Canavan are urged to not go in coalface. It's the 21st of October, and we've committed net zero billboards by 2030. This is Irrational Fear.
Irrational Fear!
Welcome to Irrational Fear. I'm your host, former editor of the Sydney Morning Herald, Dan Illich, and this is the show that fights fire with fire, which turns out to make things a whole lot worse. Let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. Our first guest is one half of the Ladies' Guide to Dude Cinema podcast. Time Out magazine calls her self-deprecating and irresistibly likable. Well, let's see about that. It's Alex J.
Hello, I suck, but I'm really nice. There you go.
Oh, wow, that's so good. And after 100 days of trying to quell his students in Zoom meetings, our next fearmonger has battled his way back into face-to-face combat in the real-life classroom of life. It is comedian and teacher Harry Jun.
Hey, yeah, and I'm coming out swinging. Detentions for everybody.
What are you doing to prepare to go back to the classroom, Harry?
Oh, lots of drinking, but that's pre-class. I think...
that's at 8 a.m.
What I'm looking forward to is going face-to-face with the kids that are, like, been mucking around over Zoom. Just like, you know, like, it's just like being at the zoo and poking a tiger and not realizing that the zookeeper's going to stroll in and open the cage. So let's see how that goes.
And he's the king of wacky clips and home brand Lewis Hobber. It's Dylan Bain.
G'day, g'day.
Coming up, we're going to be asking our fearmongers, what will it take for them to join Trump's new social media network? But first, here is a message from this week's sponsor.
You live in a fast-changing world. Today's Attorney General is tomorrow's backbencher. Accountability is something that can only exist if you can see something to count. When you need a sense of mystery for your big pot of money, put your blind faith in Porter's Blind Trust. Because whoever is paying off a public person's legal bills should remain private, at least until after the next election. Porter's Blind Trust.
This sort of program should keep going in Australia essentially forever.
Terms and conditions don't apply if you're a member of the Liberal government. Check the PDS for details. No, really, please check, because I couldn't find any details when I looked.
Hey, guys, this week's first fear, it has been quite a week. Last week, we spoke about what would happen in New York City when we put up billboards, and I actually didn't believe it would happen. I don't know if you saw it at 9:45, a whole bunch of billboards went up in New York City shaming the Australian government's action on lack of action on climate change. We did that. That was all of us. So thank you very much for chipping in to make that happen. It's kind of like a space launch, like you just do a countdown to 9:45 and you just kind of hope that it appeared on the webcam. It was a really exciting period.
It's just crazy. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's amazing, dude. You must be so stoked.
Also, congratulations for getting every Aussie I know in New York together in one place to look at them. Like my social media was full of it. Yeah.
Sarah, did you see a lot of Australians like on social media in
New
York?
Yeah, everyone I know who lives in New York, all my Aussie friends were down there. Admittedly, they're all TV people who probably know you too. But yeah, my feed was full of amazing footage from Times Square. It looked incredible.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. It's so good. And my friend Russell Crowe tweeted Jake Tapper and said I should get on Jake Tapper's CNN show. And so Jake Tapper's producer reached out and was like, hey, you want to go on the show? I'm like, yeah, sure. Thanks, Russell.
Thanks, Rusty. Good guy. Always said that.
Don't forget Studio 10, Dan. That was an even bigger privilege honour, I'm sure.
Yeah, then Studio 10.
You're saving the best for last.
Studio 10 on Monday, yeah. They had me on. And then, you know, Bo Ryan was hosting and he's obviously a big climate denier.
Oh, really?
It was a really funny experience. Like, it was a really funny experience calling into Studio 10 over Zoom, and all the technical directors and the producers were like, oh, hey, Dan, it's great to have you on. Such an amazing thing that happened. Oh, my God, that was incredible. It was so good to have you. And then it's like, hey, Dan, yes, it's the technical director here. Just incredible effort in New York. Really good, really amazing.
And just don't like, tell me what I said that.
Yeah. Just in your monitor.
And then Bo Ryan is like, yeah, mate, but if they're going to buy coal, we're going to sell it. How come you're not in China doing it, mate? How come you're not in India protesting? Why aren't you in India and China protesting about it, mate? Well, you don't see people in China protesting, do you? And I'm like, well, there's a good reason for that.
They get shot.
You could generate so much electricity just from the wind the whoosh that went over his head for not understanding.
Oh, man, it was wild. And, yeah, it was just one of those weird things where it was two guys who are way out of their depth on the issue. Anyway, it was great. Anyway, billboards aside, this is the reason why we did it, to shame the Australian government into action. At 9:45 at that point, Scott Morrison wasn't going to go to Glasgow. By 2:45, he put out an announcement saying, yes, he was going to Glasgow. Let's have a quick listen to that.
The first of those is overnight. I confirmed my attendance at the Glasgow summit, which I'm looking forward to attending. It's an important event.
Now, that's bullshit. He would have confirmed at 10:55, I reckon. Well, the reason why we put out these billboards was to kind of shame the Australian government on their lack of climate action. And there was this incredible article that came out today to say that senior government officials and lobbyists have been in at the IPCC trying to change the way language is written in the agreement or references in the IPCC final text. A senior government official rejected largely the uncontroversial conclusion that most important steps to reduce greenhouse gas was to phase out coal-fired power. The Australia also asked the IPCC scientist to delete a reference to analysis of the role played by fossil fuel lobbyists in watering down climate action. And then there's this lovely bit of language that said Australian officials tried to water down language around the Green Climate Funds, which is a gigantic fund where poor nations take money out of to kind of mitigate the risk against you know, climate disasters, to say, oh yeah, there's other ways you can mitigate. You don't need a fund to mitigate. Oh my God, this is crazy. This is like evil villain shit going on right here. That's Does it horrible. Surprise you at all that Australia is doing this, fearmongers?
No, look, do you know what? It reminds me of when I was in uni and I had a group assignment with one other dude and it was a 6,000-word essay and I wrote the whole fucking thing. And then the night before he comes in and is like, oh, I've got a couple additions and I want you to edit and delete some stuff. It's like, you weren't here the entire time. What are you talking about? You can't take credit for this, you son of a bitch. James, I hope you're listening. I fucking hate you, man.
James, fuck you.
Yeah.
About time.
James now work at DFAT? Is that where he works now?
So Australia's basically trying to water down the memo of the conference, or just the conference generally.
There are a few bad actors. So Saudi Arabia,
yep.
Australia, and Japan. They're the three major companies that are trying to throw lobbyists at the situation.
Have they done this at other conferences? Does Australia turn up at like the anti-child trafficking conference? It's a bit like, can we have more child trafficking in this memorandum? Can we push, like, what the hell?
I'm not surprised that we're downplaying this at all, because like, I think being like downplaying things is in Australia's blood. Like, my dad is Australian, right? And his favorite thing is downplaying how much money he puts into the pokies to my mum every night. So like, it's in our blood. Do you know what I mean? It's what we do.
It's not just those countries, Dan. I was reading the article and supposedly Argentina has taken offense at the words Meatless Monday being used.
Oh, it's alliteration, guys. Come on.
I know. What's next? They're going to be against Taco Tuesday? What the hell? Yeah.
Never.
But that is funny. Argentina, one of the world's biggest exporters of beef, and the gauchos. Do they have a gaucho as president? Is that their problem there?
No idea what you're talking about. Oh, gaucho. Fill us in. Oh, is that a rancher?
I was hoping you'd take this one, Dylan.
Yeah. All I know is the Steely Dan album, Gaucho. Are we talking about
that? Yeah, a gaucho is an Argentinian cowboy.
Oh, right. I thought you were saying gout, like the medical condition show, and I was like, well, the amount of meat they've got, there's probably a lot of gout there as well.
It's their new reality TV sensation. Yeah.
I'd watch Gaucho. That sounds sick.
Yeah.
Informative.
Yeah, after a glass of red wine, I also have a gaucho. It's not pleasant.
Irrational fear.
Russia, India, and China account for 40% of global emissions. Do you think there'll be similar people in your position in those nations, or will you know, maybe call those nations out?
Irrational fear.
This week's second fear, move over fidget spinners, prosthetic arms are all the rage. On a Facebook group called Victoria Sell Your Stuff, Matt posted this ad, prosthetic arm, left or right, using this for COVID vaccinations, best worn under a winter jacket to disguise your good arm. Available in various skin colours. Registered express delivery. What is going on here? Is there now an arms race amongst anti-vaxxers?
Do you know what? I looked at the price. I was very curious. $1,500. Like, that's pretty exy.
So much money.
Yeah, and you know, we say like when things are expensive, it costs an arm and a leg. But now I know exactly how much an arm costs. You know, that's $1,500 right off the bat. Very expensive.
I reckon what's happening, whatever that guy's name is, Rod or whatever from Melbourne, I think he's just, I reckon just someone just like super overestimated how many people will suddenly want to like experiment with rubber fists during lockdown. And now he's like, we've got a huge surplus, like everything must go. Yeah.
What if it does turn into an arms race? What if so many people, anti-vaxxers, wear prosthetic arms that then everyone has to get their injections in their bum, and then what if everyone wears fake bums? And it's just going to turn into Dirk Diggler territory, basically.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. I love this. This is actually from mentoneeducational.com.au. They're a Melbourne-based company. You can actually buy this if you work in a hospital training facility. And here's the description. The realism of this advanced venipuncture and injection arm is truly amazing. The soft, flexible fingers are molded separately with extreme attention paid to every detail, right down to the fingerprints. Flexion of the wrist helps students maintain manipulation skills. The replaceable skin rolls as the veins are palpated, and discernible pop is felt when entering the veins. Wow.
My sex shop theory absolutely stands. That is a product description for a rubber fist if I've ever seen one. And I've seen many, obviously.
It also says under normal use, hundreds and hundreds of injections may be performed before the veins or skin need to be replaced. Complete replacement kits are available, easy to use, and a 5-year warranty. This is great news for junkies.
You got to get the practice in. It's about, you know, refining the chops, get that aim up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe what I really liked was he stressed that it's available in various skin colors. Like when we're fighting for diversity and representation, I'm not sure this is exactly what we were looking for.
This is the front.
All the different skin tones. Yeah.
This is a front line.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that too. What does it say? It says, I like it. The initial description is beige, also available in dark skin.
Yeah. So in case you're wondering.
I love it. Like somewhere on the ad, it says like recommended that you wear like a long winter jacket to like hide it from the nurse. And I'm like, I can't remember the last time I got an injection through a jacket.
Yeah. Like an EpiPen, they hold you down and just jab
it. I'm like, get it in eventually. This bloody cashmere is killing me.
The ad said to do that to hide your good arm. Why are you hiding a good arm? You should be hiding your bad arm.
Do you know what would have been a better? They should have sold like a really oversized coat and then a full mannequin that sits on top of your shoulders, and then you walk in like this.
Perfect.
You sit down. You know what I mean? Like that's more effective.
You talk about two little kids on top of each
other. That's it. Yep. That's it.
And the one below is the one that's already got the vaccine, so he can get another one. There's also a bit of a story going around about on Instagram. There are these fake digital vaccine certificates that can be loaded onto your digital wallet that have been advertised on Instagram from a company called Fake Card AU. This sounds like a pretty good racket, like for a 10-year-old who knows how to use Photoshop. Is this the new ID to get into the bar?
I was so disappointed in the preview on the actual ad. It looked like it was done in Microsoft Paint or even the Instagram story tool.
You
couldn't have done that. You're trying to sell a product. Like, make it look good.
Yeah. It's just got, like, stickers on it and it's got, like, the Instagram font with the
little
backdrop.
GIF, his handle, like, underneath. Like, oh, follow me.
Hard to believe Instagram promoting something unhealthy.
That's where my body image issues come from. I just like to say nice try because that has nothing on the forgery I used to do with my mum's signature in year 10 to get off school. So
classic.
Hit me up.
I've got some notes.
Yeah. Did you ever do I would get a pen that was a bit out of ink and then kind of like scratch a bit. Do you know what I mean? Like mum was trying.
That's genius.
Yeah. It's about the little embellishments that you add.
Yeah. Make it authentic.
Harry, as a teacher, do you see your fair share of forged signatures?
Honestly, I reckon I've approved 99% of the forged signatures. Like, because I don't even check.
It's such a fallible system.
Well, because, I mean, the whole point is you have to see the first actual authentic parent signature to be like, that's what it looks like. But I teach like 200 kids a year or whatever.
Right.
I'm not going to be going back to my file and be like, oh, the L is a bit curlier than normal. not going to the Easter show, mate.
Mr. Johnson, I have some queries about your signature, how it's developed over the last 3 years.
Exactly.
A friend of mine in school learned to forge the teacher's signature perfectly and then would hand in his sick notes with the teacher's signature on it and the teacher
that's
would never
hilarious.
Notice.
Yeah, that's a step beyond. Yeah, so Instagram, whoever's making those certificates, you got to step it up.
And that man now is Christian Porter.
Allegedly.
Irrational fear!
When the Prime Minister arrives in Glasgow in a fortnight's time, will he tell the meeting electric vehicles will end the weekend, batteries to store renewable energy are as useful as the big banana and the big prawn, and renewable energy targets are nuts?
Mr. Speaker, it's just simply not the case.
Members on my left.
Your fear is rational.
This week's third fear: Netflix Squid Game is a hit in China, but here's the problem. Netflix is banned in China. So how the hell is Netflix taking off in China? Harry Jern.
I love the fact that a show that's so transparent about criticizing capitalism is just hit the biggest business boom in China. They're like, oh, my God, we hate capitalism, but let's fucking make some money, boys. Like, let's fire it up. And I feel like I did read the article. It said that the government's really upset that people are, you know, circling around their little firewall there, and they're trying to take some kind of action against that piracy. And I can think of one really entertaining way they could do that. Like, just, you know, rally them all up. Get them,
put them in a room.
Put them in a room. Couple
number
games.
Them all.
That's it. Like, and the reward could be a lifelong subscription to any VPN of your choice. Like,
are you saying that China's already doing this in Xinjiang province? Is this what they're already doing?
It's like a real life Squid Game. Come on, yeah, they know this shit.
I think it's so funny because the article goes on to say that if it was actually legal in China, it would be completely ripped apart by censors.
Yeah.
The censors sort of like strip Squid Game of any meaning whatsoever.
Any violence.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. Just a nice show about friendship, really.
Yeah. Marbles. They play marbles and then his friend goes on a camp and it's fine.
And has a lovely time. I have to say, guys, I'm so sorry. This is really embarrassing, but I do know how China has been watching Squid Game. What happened was... It was actually me. China and I used to date for a while and I gave them my Netflix login and then I totally forgot and I'm so embarrassed.
Alex.
You know how it is.
I know.
Once you move on, you just want to forget. And you, anyway.
You know how it is, dating a billion people and then. Yeah. Oh.
Like the admin you have to go through after it is... Too much. It's too much.
I understand why it's popular in China, though, because all the characters are in debt, right? This is the thing. Yeah. This is why they're all in the battle royale type thing. Well, of course, everyone in China is going to relate to this. They've all lost all their money to this real estate company, Evergrande.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah. This is the story of highly geared, well-to-do Chinese people.
They're worried that exactly. They'll think it's a documentary and it's like, whoa. No.
How do I get in this?
Yeah.
They just need one of the main characters, the boss character looking like Winnie the Pooh, and then everyone will totally relate to it.
And finally, to see us out, Donald Trump is set to launch his new social media network. It's called Truth Social. Fearmongers, what is one feature you'd like to see on Truth Social?
I would like to see him just go full ball on Truth Social and just make it an OnlyFans. And I'm not proud to admit this, but I would pay for that. I would absolutely pay for that.
But if it was Trump, it would be called OnlyTans.
OnlyTans.
Trump said one of the reasons he's setting up this social media platform is because the Taliban is all over Twitter. So I think what he needs to do is get the Taliban on Truth Social to even it up.
They've got a community. They can move right over. Yeah.
But I did read that they're actually, this is the first step, he's going to be launching a subscription video on demand service. So I reckon we get Irrational Fear on there. What do you reckon, Dan? maybe they'll fund us.
Because we're being silenced. We're being silenced. Can tell you how we've been silenced. You know, I tried to put a billboard in Times Square with the Irrational Fear logo on it, and they said yes.
They said we're being silenced.
Cancel culture
is going too far.
Cancel culture. They said we could only do it for 10 minutes. I said, I want it an hour.
They're like, we need more money. And you're like, I don't have it. I'm being silenced.
Yeah, that's how America works. Hey, yeah. I looked into the privacy terms and conditions, and at the bottom there is a address. Can you guess what town Truth Social is going to be based out of?
Florida?
Somewhere south. Yeah,
Palm Beach, Florida. Yeah, you got it.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It'll like just everyone over 60 and no one under 60.
It is destined for just boomers. It's just, it's there. It's ready. You're ready to go. Just move the boomer demographic over.
Well, given how good they are at QR coding, they'll be all over how to put this on their smartphones, surely.
That is it for Irrational Fear this week. It's a short one, but a good one. Big thank you to Harry John, Alex J, and Dylan Bain. What would you like to plug?
News fighters, not farters, as some people think they said. My podcast, I was going to cover Christian Porter this week, but I don't want to get sued for defamation. So tune in for all the latest on Melbourne's Freedom Day, which is happening Friday, tomorrow.
Excellent. Harry, do you want to plug anything?
Yeah, I am doing a show, a comedy show for FBI Radio called The Past Notes, which is a school-based comedy show where I interview guests sharing juicy stories about school. And I've also got a stand-up comedy show on the 4th, 5th and 6th of November. You can find all that if you look up Harry Jun Comedy, J-U-N, or yeah, on all socials.
Excellent. And how is that, how's that comedy show on FBI going? I hear you've got a pretty good convener.
He's great. Yeah. He's pretty famous. Yeah. Russell Crowe knows him. It's awesome. I'm hoping to get in, you know.
Alex J, do you want to plug anything?
Yes, I've got a podcast called The Ladies' Guide to Dude Cinema that I co-host with Beck Charlwood. We watch all the movies that dudes have told us we have to see. And I've also got comedy shows coming up for the same festival. Harry's in the Laugh Out of Lockdown Festival. I'm on the 11th, 12th and 13th of November with Daniel Towns and Luke Heggie.
Oh, excellent people on that lineup. That's pretty good. Hey, and I want to plug something too. Please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. We had Joe Hildebrand on last week and we made fun of him to his face for half an hour, but a lot of people who don't normally listen to this podcast listened in and really complained about it on Apple Podcasts.
Awesome.
Would you like me to read one out?
Here we go.
Yes, that's awesome.
Because like five star, then it gets to 3-star, the Hildebrand circle jerk. And then it goes to 1-star, News Corp paid comedy. You have Joe Teeth Scrubber on your show. You are the teat of News Corp, all caps, but oh so edgy. Yeah, we say rude words, but we are lib voting corp shill rats. If I could vote, I would vote in News Corp rat's mouth and you might get a good rating. Daddy Rupert spent money on you. Yeah, 1-star. That was from a guy called Greg's Penis, 16th to the 10th.
That is a perfect 1-star review. I love that. It's nonsensical. So it looks like there was a lot of quotation. Oh, it's just beautiful.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Greg's Penis has already signed up to Truth Social. So, I mean, they're never going to be logging on to.
Give
so
them please, a blue go, check.
Go to Apple Podcasts and give us a review if you regularly listen to this show. We'd love to hear from you. And also a big thank you to all of our new Patreon supporters. We've got 15 more. We lost 5 last week, I think, because of Joe. So that's some good turnover. Anna Bateman, Sean G, Russell White, Carrie James, Hyena Dillon, Debbie Jeffrey, Geordie Fitzgerald, Mary Joy Roy, Amber Dambra, Karen Advidson, John Sharpen, Luann Carter, Michelle Diner, Fanny Fitch, Alex Tate and Trudy Council. A big thanks to Road Mikes and the Bertha Foundation and, of course, Jacob Brown on the Teppanyaki Timeline. Big thanks to you, my fearmongers. I appreciate you joining us for Irrational Fear tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Good night.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.